Well, good morning, everyone. Time to start our worship service this morning. If it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand. There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born of our salvation, the name of Jesus. There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born of our salvation. Oh, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. Well, there is freedom from the chains that bind us. Well,
All right, good morning, Osage. Ain't God good? All time. Want to welcome any visitors we may have here for the first time. Glad you could be here with us and worship with us. And we just got a few things going on this month. And Brent, I'm going to let you just start us off what we're doing tonight.
6 o'clock tonight, we're going to have a potluck. We are the parent church for a Burmese mission in Green Forest. And they're going to come and fellowship with us. They're going to bring some of their food, and we're going to bring some of our food, and we're going to just spend some time with them. You know, I think one of the biggest things that we can do for that community is to help them understand our culture, help them understand who we are. And I know some of you are scared to death because you're afraid you're going to have to eat something that you don't know what it is, you've never seen anything like it, you don't know, you're a little bit worried. Well, Miss Marlene's bringing food too. You can eat Miss Marlene's food. You don't have to eat that if you don't want to, but it's there. So the other side of this is they're just as nervous about what kind of weird things we're eating. They don't know if we're bringing possum or what. So it's a good opportunity to them to learn our culture a little bit. You know, I spoke to one of the young men who came over on an airplane. He did not eat for 2 days. He had been in the jungle his life, and when he got on this airplane and there was weird food and little wrappers, and he didn't know what it was, what you're supposed to do with it. He was just scared to death of it. He didn't eat until he got here. To him, that looks kind of odd now because he's used to it. He's used to the culture a little bit more. But it's a chance for us to help them and love on them and parent them and for them to love on us. They're good people. Looking forward to spending time with them. Come help us get set up if you can. We'll need to get some drinks down there and get things kind of moved down to the pavilion. It's going to be outside, so dress for the weather. It's supposed to be a real pleasant evening. Should be a good evening and a good time. And man, I'm looking forward to hanging out with some good people and some godly people. They're folks just like us, and it's a good opportunity for us. We'll look forward to seeing you tonight. Thank
you. All right. Also this week, Wednesday night, will be the last movie night for the adults over here, so we'll plan on attending that. The 10th, the deacons will meet, and then the following Wednesday on the 13th, the Wana will start up. Dinner will be served at 5 o'clock, and the Wana will start at 6. So plan on attending that. And if you're still looking for a job, I bet they'll still put you to work. So any other announcements? No? Brother Max, you open us in a word of prayer, please.
Can you believe it? It is October 3rd. Where has this year went, huh? You know, as they say, the older you get, the faster it goes. And if it goes any faster, I don't want to get any older because it's flying. Anyway, October birthdays. Do we have any? All righty. Come on up so we can sing to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. We love 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 you. All righty, I think Jeannie's got some few words. You want to say something, Jeannie? You don't? Yeah. Meet me after the service, Lane. Pastor Lane, I'll tell you how old she is. Anniversaries? Oh, wow. Any more anniversaries? All right. Happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. Okay, gentlemen, moment of truth. Caleb?
10 years.
10 years. Congratulations. How many years, sir?
43.
43. All right, congratulations to you all. Yes, amen. All righty, I'm going to ask you to stand as convenient for you as we sing Stand Up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, he must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Over the hilltop, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in the city where it will shine, I want to go on that silver line. Yeah. say, my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Joy, you are my song, you are the well, the one I'm coming from, you are my refuge, my whole life long, where else could I go?
Here we go.
Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me, your love defends me, and when I feel I'm all alone, your love defends me, your love defends me. Day after to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
He became sin, knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing.
whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. The love so amazing. Well, love so amazing. Jesus the Son.
This morning,
Pastor. Involved in Children's Church, we're going to allow you to go ahead and take your indents and go on. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, the fifth chapter. The book of Acts, the fifth chapter. Look down at verse 12. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. Acts
By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all security, and the keeper standing without before the doors. And when he had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them wherein unto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." You be seated. God defies explanation. When we come to a point where we feel like that we can explain God, we've really fouled up. There's just some things in life and of course in the scripture also when that we might not be able to understand. And I always define that as God's ways are not our ways. In chapter 4 and verses 3 and verse 4, they put Peter and John in jail and 5,000 were saved, along with the 3,000 that were saved in chapter 2. So that must mean that there were over 8,000 in this group now. Now, you get a picture of that? How big this group is? We've got some mega churches in America, but none that I know of that would reach that expectation, at least all at one time. So it's a huge, huge group. In chapter 5 and verse 18, they put them back in jail, and people are still being saved. In chapter 5 and verse 14, and believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. And then in chapter 5 and verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, and they're teaching the people." Chuck Swindoll says about this verse, "These men hadn't yet learned that when God works, He often defies explanation. He moves wherever He wishes and does whatever He pleases. Not even prison bars can block His power when He invades the lives of people willing to take a stand for Him." I think the biggest thing in these chapters is that the disciples had prayed for courage. They didn't pray take away this persecution, but they prayed for courage in the midst of the persecution. I believe that the church is coming to a place that we certainly, as the new church in the book of Acts, needed courage. I think that the churches of our day are going to certainly need courage. I believe that I used to say probably not in my lifetime, but I believe probably now in my lifetime we're going to come to a time when it's going to be against the law to go to church. Australia has already come to that place. It's against the law to meet. And I believe that it's going to come to that place now. And if we follow the example of the first church, we won't be praying for other things other than, Lord, give us courage during this time. I want to ask you a couple of questions. This has been on my mind for a while. But I don't know how long ago it's been. Several years ago. Maybe 40 years ago. I don't know. I went to work at this place. And the owner was a Christian. And I believe a deacon in his church. And he said to me, it was a parts store and they sold car parts. And he said to me when I came to work for them, we deal with all kinds of people here, and some of them are real rough around the edges. He said, you can't preach to everybody that comes in. And that was his words. You can't preach to everybody that comes in. Now, you would have thought that a Christian would have wanted you to preach to everybody that come in, wouldn't you? I understood what he meant, that I couldn't preach to everybody that come in. But I got lots and lots of opportunities to witness for the Lord. A lot of those guys' language changed. And sometimes when they were having difficulties in their family, they would come to me not with the need to buy something, but the need to share what was going on in their family. And I meant to try to find this out. But what about in the public school? I know we've got some public school workers here, teachers. Is it against the law to share Jesus in the classroom? They have to ask something like that. They have to start the conversation. What about at Tyson? We've got some Tyson workers here. Is it against the law to share Jesus at Tyson? What is there a policy? Is there a set policy? Anybody know? You know? No set policy? Okay. There's going to be. There's going to be in both those places, and it's coming really quick. And so you and I as Christians have to make our mind up about courage. We have to decide. You and I as Christians have to decide. Are we going to keep our job? Or are we going to share Jesus? You'd say, well, brother, I don't think that's always the case. And it's not always the case. It's not always the case. But I'm telling you that we are coming to a time that we have never been in before. I asked Gwen to look up a verse this morning on our way down here. I couldn't remember where it was in Thessalonians. For when Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, he said, I know some people have been spreading some news that Jesus has already come back. And he said, that's not right. He said, Jesus will not be coming back until the falling away takes place. There's going to be a great falling away, and the son of perdition is going to be revealed. The son of perdition is the devil. He's going to be revealed for what he is. And folks that are influenced and guided by the devil, the masks are going to come off, and we're going to be able to see who they are for real. And there's going to be, and I think that this has already started. I think it's already started. There's going to be this great falling away in the church. I think in two ways. I think the church is going to fall away from the real truth and the Scripture. And also those who claim to be Christians, who are not Christians, will fall away from the church, from the true church, from people who are really having church. I'll get off the stump right now on that. There's a whole bunch more that I could say about that. But I think that we're coming to it, and I think that we're coming to it at a neck break speed. And it's coming very quickly. I think that the coronavirus has ushered in this falling away. I think it's ushered in this falling away. Matter of fact, it's given folks a reason not to come. I think that that's a precursor to what's going to take place. Now, let me qualify what I'm getting ready to say now that I have your attention. Let me qualify what I'm getting ready to say. I'm not against the vaccination. My wife and I have both had it. We've both had the virus in December, and then we took the vaccine. We've both had it. I'm not against the vaccination. But this is what I believe. I believe that it is a precursor to the mark of the beast. I believe that it is preparing. Now, don't go out and say that the preacher said that the vaccine was the mark of the beast. I did not say that. And I've had people call me and ask me if I thought it was the mark of the beast, and I said, it is not the mark of the beast. But I've come to a place to believe that it is a precursor to that. It is preparing people, and I'm for you taking it. I'm for you taking the vaccine. But I think that it is preparing people's lives, their opinion, their mind, for the mark of the beast. What is going to happen is that there is going to come a time in our society, I don't believe it's very far off, that without the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy nor sell. You won't be able to go to the grocery store and buy anything unless you have a mark, a tattoo, across your arm. It might even be invisible. It might be a chip under your skin, across the top of your hand and across your forehead, where it would be easily scanned. That's the mark of the beast. And I think it's coming. Now, I've always believed that the church would be raptured up before that happened in the lives of Christians, and they wouldn't even be making a decision about the mark of the beast. But I believe that in certain parts of the world, and now I believe it's very quick to come in our country, that you're not going to be able to tell whether we have entered the tribulation period or not. It is going to get bad. And the church is going to be under attack. And pastors are going to be under attack. And they're going to be jailed. And Christians are going to be under attack. And they're going to be jailed. It's going to be hard for you to keep your kids in your own home if you believe and teach as a Christian. I believe that all those things are already in the works. And it's just a matter of time until they are set forth. I'll tell you, it stands a hair up on the back of my head. And I, certain spots I don't have very much. But I think that that is what's going to happen. Now, you notice I put "I think" in it. Gwen and I was talking about something the other day, and I said, "I think." She said, "It doesn't matter what you think. It's what the Bible teaches." And that's the truth. So they prayed for courage before the court. And I'm telling you, I'm not trying to scare folks into something. I just believe that we're living in days like I would have never believed would come in my lifetime. I thought perhaps my children would see it, but I never expected to see it myself. I was in a evangelism conference meeting several years ago, probably, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe, and I was listening to Junior Hill preach, and he stood behind the pulpit, and he said there's coming a time, and it's not very far off, that it's going to be against the law for us to do this right here, to meet. And he said, "I probably won't see it, and some of you older guys probably won't see it, but these young men that are in this congregation today will be able to see that." And I believe that it's coming, and I believe that it's coming very quickly. And I'm not the only one that believes that way. So the council charges the apostles. I really like chapter 5. I think it is a great chapter. I mean, when you look over that chapter 5 and you see the things that have taken place in the church, now, one thing that kind of scares me about that is the leaders is the one that's got the whooping. But the church grew. The church grew in that. Everything that happened, the church grew. When the church was under persecution, the church grew. I tell you, folks, we've spent several years. I've been in it 50 years. We have spent years it being easy for us to share the gospel. It's been easy for us to be a Christian for years and years and years. And now that's going to change. And we're going to need courage. And so this is what they said in verse 28. "We command you not to speak in this name." Now I've been... Gwen watches a lot of news. I don't watch much of it. I do now and then. But I've been paying attention to the news. I don't know if you do or not, but you might help me with this. Do you ever hear the other side use the name of Jesus? Think about that. You ever hear the other side use the name of Jesus? Well, I got to watching. I got to listening for the name of Jesus. And it's avoided. It's those Christians, those cross-carrying folks that are causing all the trouble. We're quickly becoming the enemy, very quickly. They avoid, here in this passage, they avoid using Jesus' name. And they say, "This man," they didn't use his name. I tell you, because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, there is power in the name of Jesus on the side of the Christian. They will not use his name. I'll get it out here lately. They avoided using Jesus' name. This man's blood. You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. I tell you, I'm looking forward to that time that somebody from the other side would be able to say, "You filled our community with your doctrine." We need to be about the business. that the Lord has put us in. The apostles' courageous response in verse 29. And this is what they said. We ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey God rather than man. What did the apostles charge the religious leaders with? I thought this was so interesting that they were on trial, and yet they turned the trial around. And the religious leaders became on trial. They said, you disgraced and killed Jesus in verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. In verse 31, God exalted Jesus by placing him at his right hand, giving him a title of Prince and Savior. The religious leaders said that the law and works is the answer to your sin problem. The apostles said Jesus gives repentance and forgiveness for sin in verse 31. In Jewish customs, to prove the truth of a matter, two witnesses were required. Verse 32 talks about that. And this is what the apostle says. We are his witnesses of these things. And if you do a little research on this word witness, I'll die for that witness, is what that really means. I'm willing to die for what I believe, is what the disciples were saying in the word witness. And then they said, so also was the Holy Ghost. So according to verse 33, this connected them, so they literally, it convicted them so that they literally wanted to kill them. You kill the messenger because you don't like the message. We're seeing it. They hadn't killed this old boy yet that they've got in the brig. But they didn't like the message. They put him in the brig. When you don't like the message, Now, Gamaliel is one that I believe that Paul refers to being able to learn at his feet. He's a smart guy. And he's on the other side. But he does give them some advice in verses 34 through 39. He says, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. It's when it's of the Lord. When it's of the Lord. You know, folks, God is in charge. Now, I understand that. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their eyes, and I know that the devil is the God of this world, but at the same time, God is in charge. And He is our rear guard. He is our protector. If we're living during the days, and I said this week to someone, if we're living here on this earth, when it's against the law to buy or sell for a Christian, God will make a way for us to survive. He'll make a way. I mean, He might send manna, I don't know. But He'll make a way for us to survive. You know what you and I need to focus our attention on is being courageous during these days and telling the truth and standing for the truth. So, they've moved to the streets now in verses 41, verse 42, and they're preaching the gospel. They beat them, they beat the disciples, and they rejoiced. What do you think? Wow. And Peter talks about testing in his book. When he writes to the church in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12 that testing is not strange for the Christian. Now, we've not seen much of that. In other countries, they have. I listened to a missionary talk about the under church, the underground church in China, and some of those China men that were a witness for the Lord. And they'd gather together, and they was having the biggest time, and they were showing their scars and laughing. They'd been shot, some of them, and they would show that scar and laugh about what had happened. They were rejoicing. They weren't moaning over what had taken place. They were rejoicing in the Lord. Testing shouldn't be a strange thing for people. I'm like the guy said, I've been rich and I've been poor, and I like being rich better. I don't want us to be persecuted, and I don't want to go through persecution. But I do believe that it is coming for the Christian. When we suffer for Christ, we can be counted as His partner, according to 1 Peter 4 and verse 13. Peter also goes on to speak in that verse 15 and 16. And he says, now not all sufferings of the Lord. It's not all honorable. I mean, if you're a thief or a liar and you get in trouble over that and suffer over that, that's not suffering for the Lord. That's suffering for something else. And when you get down to verse 19, matter of fact, I want to read that. I want you to see it with your own eyes. And I'll find it here after a while. They didn't move it again. First Peter 4, look at verse 19. I thought this was great. Wherefore, anytime you see a wherefore in the King James Bible, you always look to see what it's there for. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, here's the kicker. Look up at the first part of that verse. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to what? According to the will of God. Wow. Well, wonder what the health, wealth, and prosperity folks do with that. Sometimes it is the will of God for us to suffer. Lyle would say, I'm through. Let's stand together. Mike, would you come and help us? And Roger and Tim, would you come and help us? It's a good day. It's a good day to be saved. It's a good day to give your heart and your life to Jesus. It's a good day to start serving Him if you're not serving Him. There is no other way. God's dealing with your heart, would you come this morning, make that decision for Him? A recommitment to Him to join this fellowship, to commit your life to Jesus. You haven't been saved and you want to be saved today, would be a great time for you to step out and come to one of us here. And by your coming, you'd say, I want to accept Christ as my Savior. I want to join this church by moving my letter here or by being baptized. I want to be a part of what's going on. And the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart to do that, and don't do it unless He is. But as we sing, we invite you to come.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. thou hast first loved me and purchased my part.